where you are standing right now, giving thanks from the bottom of your heart again, and say, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you on behalf of my family, I thank you on behalf of myself, I give you thanks for my home, I thank you for my career, I thank you, I am in the sanctuary, I am not in the mortuary. I return to thank you specifically for the month of April, for all the blessings. We return as a people to say thank you. We return as a people to say thank you. Be glorified. Be exalted. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the same God that did wonders in the life of David will do wonder in your life, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The same God that made David an emblem of testimony, we make you an emblem of testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The same God that crushed every enemy of David, we crush every enemy of your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The same God that took David from the back in the bush to the palace, everywhere you have been wandering right now, I declare that, that same God will promote you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The same God that made it impossible for the enemy to have the final say in the life of David, we make sure that no enemy succeed in bringing you down in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, I decree the release of the garment of praise upon your people are fresh in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I decree that the garment of mourning and complaining and murmuring be removed from you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not mourn in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not weep in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not weep over your husband in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will not weep over your wife in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not weep over your children in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not weep over anyone that is numbered with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be your name, Lord.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Let's stand together for Jesus and let's take our seat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our time is fast spent, but we try as much as possible to just go through the message for today, believing the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to see clearly what He wants us to go through today. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, once again, breathe upon your word. Reveal yourself afresh unto us today in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
And let your holy and precious name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, the sent word that you have packaged for this assembly, let it come expressly today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And let there be no hindrance in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we look at what wisdom is this, part 4. What wisdom is this? And remember, we said wisdom is the principal thing. When you are in command of wisdom, you become the principal in life. Not the principal of gymnasium, though. You become a reference point. That's what it means. If you are a tailor, you become the tailor. If you are a barber, you become the barber. Hello? That means whatsoever you do, you will prosper there. That is the plan of God for you. That is the plan of God for your family. That is the plan of God for your children. The Bible says that generation of the upright shall be what? They shall be mighty. So there is no reason under the heaven why your children should be a source of concern to you. Hello? There is no reason why your marriage should be a concern, because the word of God said that whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and he obtained favor from the Lord. Hallelujah. That is the word of God. That is the promise of God. That is his agenda for you. There is no devil that has the capacity to change the plan of God except the one that is concerned and say, okay, I want to give up. Hallelujah. And so, trying to do a recap through the first three parts, remember part 1, we look at what wisdom, actually mean? We look at the definition of wisdom and we say that it is doing what is required to acquire what you desire. Wisdom is doing what is required to acquire what you desire, or correct application or resourceful application of the knowledge. Which means the knowledge that you have that you don't apply, it doesn't equal to knowledge. Hallelujah. It's like a medical doctor that is saying, "No, do not smoke. And he goes out during the break to tobacco and smoke. It means he's a fool. He has the knowledge, but he's not applying it. So the knowledge that you have that you don't apply makes you a fool. You won't be a fool in the name of Jesus Christ. So wisdom is correct application of knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. And the second part, we look at the products of wisdom. What wisdom can deliver to you. For example, we said peace is a product of wisdom. You cannot see someone that is chaotic, that is enjoying peace. Or someone that is not organized. He can pray like praying mantis. He will still not enjoy peace. And so, wisdom makes you to enjoy peace. Wisdom is the stimulator of wealth. Wisdom gives you an edge over your enemy. It's not just about strength. It is application of wisdom that makes you to win. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you can make reference to that. And last Sunday, we looked at the source of wisdom. And we said that the only genuine source of divine wisdom, the wisdom of God, is the word of God. And then we said the Bible is the wisdom bank of God. Hallelujah. So if we want to excel or to operate in the wisdom of God, you must learn to load your heart, not just the story with just the stories, but the mysteries behind the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. And so quickly today, as we attempt to round up for the month, we'll be looking at what wisdom is this part 4. And today we want to look at the hindrances that will make it impossible or difficult to operate in the wisdom of God. Because if the wisdom of God is what makes you to be the principal in life, if it is the wisdom of God that will guarantee your dominion in life, if it's the wisdom of God that will make it possible for you to operate as gods, being created by God, to the God Almighty, to be a God over the circumstance here on earth, you will need the wisdom of God to operate in that class. But the devil knows that when you are equipped with the wisdom of God, you know, for example, if you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 11, talking about the Jesus in picture or in prophecy, when he said that the Spirit of God shall be upon him, he said the Spirit of power, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge. And we said that out of the 7 Spirit of God, 5 is addressing the mind or talking about wisdom. So we can then say that the Holy Spirit is principally the Spirit of wisdom. And that's why the issue of your mind or the place of your mind is so important. You can never, say never.
Never.
You can never ever rise above the level of your mind. Hello? You cannot even pray correctly if your mind is not sound. I mean, if a madman is praying, he's praying wrong prayer. Hallelujah. And so, the place of the mind is so important. If a man loses his leg, they can still vote for him to be the president. But can you vote a madman and the president? He's not even qualified to contest. Not talk of winning. Hello? That's the truth. A madman cannot even testify in court. Because they will say that according to law, maybe it's, in Yoruba they said that, Oshuele, how do you say that in English? That his time has come to do. You see, what I'm trying to say is that the mind is so important. And so the devil knows that. And he tries all his best to block people from accessing the wisdom of God. But whatsoever scheme of the devil to stop you from accessing the wisdom of God, I decree that enemy shall fail in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You and your children will not be found in psychiatric hospital in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not lose your mind in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your children will not lose their minds in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
If there is anyone that you know that is passing through that challenge, I decree their recovery today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
But remember that you are passionate about a thing does not necessarily make it right in the eyes of God. Hello? The terrorists, they are passionate about what they are doing. Because for somebody to agree that they put bomb in his body and he will go and blow himself up and somebody tells him that if he kills himself, he's going to heaven or somewhere. He's passionate about it. But does it make it right? Hello? Does it make it the will of God? So you can be passionately wrong. Sincerity, like we have said many times, does not equal to reality. You can be sincerely wrong. Hello? There is no man that ever existed apart from Jesus whose words are immutable. You can make mistakes irrespective of your title. As whether you are a pastor, you can be in the ministry for donkeys of years. You can still be wrong. Hello? So don't ever assume the position of Mr. Know-All or Mrs. Know-All. Anyone that gets to that realm or that level is speedily heading towards the grave. You will not be found in the grave in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That your experience or your emotion tell you that something is right does not necessarily make it right or make it the will of God. Your emotion can be wrong. That you are convinced about a subject does not make it right in the eyes of God. So let us beware. You know, we have to be very, very careful because every good thing can, thank you, Jesus, can be abused by the devil. Do you know that we are living in the day of information or the day of media? Your WhatsApp or whatever app you call it is full of information. But if you're not careful, some people can land in the wrong place because of that. And so you have to be able to filter when information comes. You go to Facebook or whatever book you open. All manner of trash here and there. And so as a born again child of God, you need to be able to equip yourself with the filter or the truth to be able to separate the lies and the truth of the enemy. The lies of the enemy and the truth, which is the word of God. Hallelujah to Jesus.
Amen.
Information flowing here and there. And unfortunately, we live in the day where Christians have become so complacent that we don't even read the Bible. Even pastors, and some pastors in court have become so lazy that they don't even have time for the Bible themselves. They just listen to any message of their friends or whatever. They go to YouTube and listen to message and go and download it and preach. They are not equipped with the Bible themselves. You know, if Martin Luther did not read the Bible, if he was listening only to what his senior pastors were preaching, we would not have discovered that this is the way to be saved, isn't it? He would have been preaching and just be, what do you call this thing in English? Hello? Reading and re-echoing, what they are teaching him. So when I teach you things here, please go and check it with the word of God. That's why I always give you reference where it is found in the scripture. Hallelujah. Everything we do, make sure that you confirm it. Don't just listen to message. Go to the truth yourself. Read the scripture by yourself. Check. What does the scripture say about every subject? Because we are living in the day of deception. You know, my wife showed me something one time about somebody preaching about family. Yes, she was passionate, but she was quoting a scripture and saying something. My wife said, "Only this is not in the Bible. It's not correct." I said, I laughed. I said, "Yes. It's not correct." She was quoting a scripture, but she was not correct. In fact, I had that experience when I was in South Africa one time when we went to the airport and they were with some policemen. And the policeman made reference to the same thing, an unbeliever. And instantly I said, "No, that's not correct. This is what the scripture says about it." Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is that know the truth so that you can be set free. Don't just say my pastor said or this pastor said. No matter how popular that pastor is, he can be wrong, though. The only one that cannot be wrong is God. So know the word of God in and out. Thank you, Jesus. That it is a good idea does not necessarily make it God's idea. A good idea does not equal to God's idea. It may be good, may not be God at that time. That it is good does not mean it's necessarily right. For example, when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to go and preach as an evangelist, he looked at that place, Nineveh. You know, Nineveh was like a center of popularity, that means center of civilization at that time. What if I go, they say my grammar is not good. I will go. He was scared already. And so he started manipulating to go to another place. Hello? He was not going to the other place to go and celebrate party. He was going to go and preach. Is it good to preach? Yes, it's good to preach. But he was out of God's will, even though he was doing a good thing. So that thing is good does not necessarily make it God's thing. The only thing that makes it good or make it God's thing is when it is in line with the will or the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs 14:12 said, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You will not tread the path of death in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You will not deceive, you will not be deceived into death in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The same Proverbs repeated it in this verbatim in verse 16, chapter 16 of it, in verse 25. First, Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25. He said, "There is a way, it seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Are the ways of death. You are passionate about that thing. They say, "Okay, forgive that man." You say, "No, I won't. He has done me so evil, he's so wicked." Yes, emotionally, he has wounded you. But that doesn't make it right to refuse to forgive him. Because when you don't forgive him, you can't advance in life. May you not be trapped by the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus had an encounter with one guy, one young rich man, in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe we should just keep reading it because of our time. But Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through to 24 talks about that rich young man that came to Jesus. And he said, "Oh, you are the good master." And Jesus said unto him, "Say, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." He said, "Thou knowest the commandment." So, but he came to ask, the Bible said, and when he was, in verse 17, Mark 10, 17 said, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled," "and he knelt down to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" You know, the Bible says he knelt down, which means he was even religious. He respected him. Remember, he said he was a young, rich man. Hello? So for a rich man to kneel publicly in the presence or in the front of a minister or a pastor, it means he really humbled himself outwardly. But inside, you can kneel down physically and your heart is standing up. It's just like when you say to your child, "Sit down there, don't go where." He says, but in his heart, he's outside. He's sitting down physically, but outside he's doing something there. Hello? Oh, same thing with this man. Let's see the picture. And then Jesus said in verse 18 unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." Look at his response. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these I have done, I have observed from my youth." You see, instead of him coming with the attitude that says, "Jesus,
Thank you for these things that you said. Yes, I appreciate it. But with my level of understanding, I've done all these things. What do you think I lack most? He was bragging to Jesus, I've done all these things. Did you get it now? He was standing at the position of Mr. Know-all, that I know everything. I want me to go to the kingdom of God. Do I go there? You say I should not steal. I should not, but I've done everything. But how did Jesus react? Then, Jesus, beholding him, he loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. Then he touched him in the world at the sensitive point that time. Where he has made the riches his own God. So to let go of the riches, even if you need to let it go of that one, to follow Jesus became a big issue to him. And so when Jesus said, okay, go and give your things to the needy. He said, ah, okay, I come back tomorrow. Let's go and share. I'm going to think about it. It simply shows that he has made that riches his own God. How do we know that? And the Bible said, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. You know, he has made that possession his own God. And so when Jesus said, you will let go of this God, of Mammon, and then you will serve the Almighty God, say, ah, tomorrow I'll come back. I'm going to think about it. Hello? Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus looked around about and said unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Because when Jesus said how hard it was for riches to enter the kingdom of God, the disciples were surprised because they had rich men amongst them. Hello? So Jesus clarified the statement by saying, for the riches who trusted in the what? In riches. So when you make money your God, when you make money, Bible did not say money is the root of evil. He said the love of money. Hello? The love of money. Remember we said one of the products of divine wisdom is even riches. Hello? So what I try to draw from this passage is that he came to Jesus with the attitude of, I know it all. Don't ever go to the presence of God claiming that, oh God, I've done all that I'm supposed to do. Why is it still not working? Shut up. I'm proud. That's the meaning. You go with the attitude that, Lord, I've done all I know. What is it that I didn't know that I'm supposed to do? You may have tried your best, truly. But that doesn't make it the right only. You are supposed to approach him by saying, Lord, I've done all I knew. I've tried all according to my own knowledge. What is it that I lack? Then he will tell you, this is why you have missed it. Thank you, Jesus. But what I'm trying to say is that don't ever approach God with I know it all mentality. Humble yourself, genuinely. Humble your heart. Humble your heart before God, because you can be wrong. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
The word of God says in the book of Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 3. Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Sorry. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It means you can be wrong. Why will you need correction if you can't be wrong? 2 Timothy 3:16. You can be wrong. As a man, you can be wrong. As a woman, you can be wrong. You know, even when we deal with our children, there are times when we ask them to do things that we are wrong. And it takes humility to say, oh, boy, yes, I was wrong that time. You know, when you're dealing with them, this issue of, I think, 3F, you have to be firm when you're dealing with them. That means your no is no, actually, because if they know you to be vegetable parent, they will take advantage of you. So you have to be firm, but you have to be fair. Hello? You can be firm, but be fair. Because if you are asking them to carry the load, you can't carry yourself. You are not fair.
Hallelujah.
Okay, a child is reading. You know he has been studying for 2 hours and he needs to relax. I say, okay, but daddy, I want to watch TV just for a few minutes. No, you must read. If it was you, you come. If you are sitting in the class for 2 hours, what would you be doing like this? You will be dozing too. So be fair. Try to put yourself in their shoes when you are dealing with them as well. Remember the environment where they are living in. They are being bombarded here and there, north and south. They go to school, they discriminate against them, they say another offense against them. So try to put yourself in their shoes when you are dealing with them. Thank you, Jesus. And number three, be friendly. Hello? It's not every time I'm sensitive. When I see that my child lies or do something that is finding difficult to confide in me, I check the way I've been dealing with him. Because, I told my son, I said, God forbid, even if you kill somebody, tell me the truth. Tell me, don't hide it. Can your children confide in you? Hello? Because if you have positioned yourself to be the lion or tribe of your house, and they can't come to you, they will go and confide in somebody that will lead them in the wrong way. Hello? They will tell their friend that will try to give them suggestions and say, okay, and they will kandahar their head with more lies. There's no kandahar in English. No, use that one. It was one of the language of my mama. Thank you, Jesus. But they will try and add something to it. Let me give you one example. One of the children of David, he had some kind of passion towards his own sister, half-sister. Was attracted sexually to that one. You know? He went and informed one of his friends. Instead for the friend to slap him, boah, and remove the devil from his eyes, from his head, he was one that taught him how to cook it. He said, just tell him that you are sick. The prince is sick. Okay, what does he want? Tell him that that's your sister that you want. She will cook food. That if you eat her food, you will be healed. And they lied. And that one brought food. And he raped that girl. And then end up, another brother killed that one. See how David's family was torn. But if he was dealing with good friend, who would have counseled him and said, what come over you? For deliverance. No. You see, what I'm trying to say is that if you don't make yourself friends of your children, they will go and confide in the wrong people that will drag them to occult. And say, nobody, your dad, your baba, that man is slowing down. No, you better push him and go and inherit this thing. Put cyanide in the baba's food so that he can go fast. That was what Absalom tried to do for David. Wanted to kill his daddy. Thank you, Jesus. So, what I'm trying to say is that be watchful. You can be wrong. Always check what you are doing with the standard of the word of God. James chapter 3. The scripture that Brother Powell read for us. Let's go there and check. Thank you, Jesus. James chapter 3 and verse 17 was talking about the wisdom of God. You know, he started the whole chapter talking about how powerful the tongue is. That as powerful as the whole big ship is, you can turn it around with a small thing. James chapter 3 and verse 17. He said, as big as the ship is, you can turn it around. As big as a truck is, you can turn the steering, and it goes. And he went on to say that even big animals, and snakes are being tamed by people. But who can tame the tongue? And then he went ahead to say, to describe the nature of the wisdom of God. James 3:17. He said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, is gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace of them that make peace. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What I'm trying to talk about is that you can be wrong. So always check what you are doing with the standard of the word of God. Or the wisdom of God. So if it is the wisdom of God, it must pass all the tests of this verse. If it fails any of the tests, then it is not from God. Remember when I was teaching us one day about the word of God and how they arrived at this Bible. There was standard that they laid down. And any of the book, the 66 book that you have here, pass all of the tests. Anyone that did not pass any of those tests were removed. So if before you take any decision, check James 3:17. Did it pass it? If it refused to pass any of those standards, trash it now. It's not from God. Thank you, Jesus. God said very clearly in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 1. 1 John 4, 1. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't just believe every spirit. You know that, that you hear something from your inside and say, oh, I'm so not convinced about it. You can be wrong. I'm so much passionate about that. You can be wrong. 1 John chapter 4. That you are convinced about it, you can be wrong. Check it with the word of God. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, plural, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Who is a prophet? A mouthpiece of God. So there are people that are preaching demonic doctrines. Hello? There are things, you know, that something is popular doesn't make it God's idea. We live in the world where we're talking about democracy, democracy. Yeah, democracy is good. But God is not respected. I mean, it's not applied to living to a democracy. People can go to the house and vote for all manner of sexual perversion. Does it make it God's will? The majority carry the vote. Hello? They can go to the house and debate that they don't want us to read the Bible in the schools anymore. Is that God's will? But look at it in terms of number, they carry more. Hallelujah to Jesus. So be sensitive. He said, because many false prophets are gone into the world. Say, hereby shall you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So any religion, any group that refuses to believe that God came in the form of flesh, in the form of Jesus, is not from God. It is fake. Thank you, Jesus. So learn to separate. When you get home, you can read the remaining one. It's 1 John 4, 1, 2, to verse 4, actually. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Thank you, Jesus. Are we still able to take a little more? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. So check, is that it true? Before you accept it as the will of God. Whatsoever things are honest. Is it honest? It's not that when you are selling Gary, you hit the every side. Or you adjust the scale. You want to buy meat for 5 kg, but in reality you are selling 3.5 kg to him. Is that honest? Not from God. That is not the wisdom that will make you rich. Trash it now. Hallelujah. So he said, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, is it just? Whatsoever things are pure, is it pure? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think of these things. So if it is a wisdom of God, it must pass the test of Philippians 4:8. It must pass the test of James 3:17 and 18. If it doesn't pass, trash it. It's not from God. So before you take any decision, check first. That's why don't rush into decisions. You know that most of the mistakes we make are the decisions we take in haste. Have you ever noticed it? Hello? Don't just rush into it. Take me time. When they came to Daniel, he said, hey, I want to die now. No, he said, no. Can't you give us time? Why are you in a rush? Bible said he called his partners and they prayed on the night. They connected with heaven and heaven gave them the solution. If anybody comes to you and your spirit is not really released for anything, tell him to wait. If he's of God, he will wait. If he was packed from the pit of hell to bring you down, he won't wait. Why? Because the enemy is always in a hurry. He doesn't want to give you time to think through. Hello? So then tell them, no, wait for me. If anybody comes with a business idea, tell him that I'm a Christian, I want to pray over it.
I want to think over it.
Because there is a way that seemeth good to a man, but end of it is death. Hello? That idea is good doesn't make it God's idea. Don't be trapped. You will not be trapped in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And those of us who are called into the business world. Because the Lord spoke clearly even from the foundation of this ministry that people shall be raised that will be captains of industry. That grace comes upon you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You will go up in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No devil will succeed in cutting you down in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So put it to text. He's talking about the purity. That talking about that James 3:17. The purity. Those who operate in divine wisdom, they live in righteousness. Number two, we're talking about, he said, it is peaceable. It affords or possesses peace and enforces peace. If it will not lead to peace, it's not from God. Hello? Any step that you want to take that will scatter somebody's home, it's not from God. You know, I told you that even I was so young then, newly saved, and I met a woman, a sister, and was praying. I said, join me in prayer. I said, join me in prayer for what? He said that this special person will marry me. But I said, he has a wife. How can I pray? Hello? I didn't know much about the scripture then, but inside me I said, no, this, I can't pray this kind of prayer. I can't pray this kind of prayer because I knew his wife. Why will he marry you again? Hello? That's not pure. Hallelujah. That's not leading to peace. You will scatter this, you will scatter their home if he marries you. Because no man was designed to marry two people, to love two people at a time. Hello? You don't have the capacity. Just as it is impossible for your skin to smell something, it's only your nose. The skin wasn't wired with the capacity to smell. No man was wired by God to marry or to love two women at a time. He's a liar. If he says, oh, I love you, he's lying, you know. Telling you are lying. You don't have the capacity. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So it must lead to peace. Every step you take must lead to peace. Every step you take, you must think about gentility. Hello? You shouldn't be arrogant. You should be approachable. Hello? You shouldn't be somewhere and they say, okay, it's okay, they can't talk to him. Who are you? Take yourself down. Take it easy. And you're approachable. Like we said, can your children approach you? Can your parents approach you? Hello? Because some people, they become so much the lion of their house that even their parents can't talk to them. Say, okay, Mobile, I had. Don't put yourself in that position. Put yourself, you know, this thing takes wisdom to willingly bring yourself. That's why everybody I see, I say, sir, it is a defense that I put around me consciously that if any devil inside wants to try to bring me up, I will condemn. No. Hallelujah to Jesus. And there are people in this congregation that have corrected me many times. Hello? My friend will say, what are you saying? But by the time I get back home, I say, so very bad. And I don't want to destroy myself. I think about it. Our children can correct us. Thank you, Jesus. Your step, if it is the leading of God and it's according to the wisdom of God, it must what? Be merciful. It must show mercy. Don't be mean. Hello? Don't be mean. Don't rejoice when other people are suffering. No! The wisdom of God will never do that. When you see somebody that is rejoicing at spreading news, every news he hears, oh, feel horrible, like, but what happened to him? They've sacked him. He goes to the other place. Even I saw him begging there. He's rejoicing. Don't join that group. When you see, even when a wicked is going through challenge, have compassion. Say, Lord, have mercy. Don't join them to sow the seed. Because if you sow hatred or bad things to that life, you will reap it too. Thank you, Jesus. As we quickly close now, what are the obstacles that could block the flow of divine wisdom? Number one is lack of knowledge. Or ignorance. It can block the people from operating in divine wisdom. Knowledge is consciously acquired. Hello? Knowledge is consciously acquired and it will require effort on your part. Now you are sitting down about 1 hour. It will be more convenient sitting at home and say, okay, SBC 2, SBC 3, let me look at it. See, but you are paying a price now. And that price will pay off in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The
Because, you know, as you are hearing it, Bible says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Then, as you are seated now, because Bible does understand the book of Hebrew, that in the house of God, there are forces there. What are the forces? The angels are there. The God, the Father is there. The blood of Jesus is there. So, as you are seated, your body is being serviced. That's why we normally say we are going to church. We say we are going to service. Hello? If you see a man or woman that is genuinely committed to going to service with revelation, with understanding, it can't be a vegetable. Because as you are sitting, angels are patching your body. They are checking your hand. They are checking your leg. They are fixing things. Hello? The blood of Jesus is here, fixing your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the most powerful force that be. The blood of Jesus cannot be covering you and any devil want to come in. No. He will be crushed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He or she will be crushed. Can you pass the blood? He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Death couldn't even handle that blood. As dead as the earth was, when that blood was dropped on the earth, everything changed. No, Bible said in the book of Genesis chapter 3, the Bible said God caused the earth for the sake of the man. But that same earth, when the blood of Jesus came upon it, life came back. That's why as you are walking on the earth, as one someone that has been redeemed by that blood, there is no force from the pit of hell that has the capacity to stop your prosperity, sir. Have this revelation. Hello? You know, prosperity is not just about having plenty of money in the account, though. No, it's about having your needs met as at when due. Hello? There's no need of my life, this small boy, that sometimes I even look at the account when they say, okay, I just laugh. But before you say, hey, it comes. It may come in times of wisdom to do it without even paying a cent, or raising somebody by favor, or even showing me what to do. So what I'm trying to say is that as long as you are in Christ Jesus, poverty is not your lot. There is nothing spiritual about poverty. The spirit of poverty is a stinking spirit. So it cannot teach you to be holy. It doesn't have what it takes. How can the devil teach you to be holy? He lost his holiness. That was why they pushed him out. So how will he teach you to be holy? Hello? Wake up, brethren. Thank you, Jesus. So, obstacle to flowing divine wisdom is lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Say, my people, they perish, for they are robbed of their glory because of what? Lack of knowledge. So, when you don't know the word of God, when you don't know what it is, the devil will quote the scripture and twist it for you, and you'll be carrying it around. Hello? Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. The devil will misquote the scripture. That was what he did in the garden. He said, did God say you should not eat it? Don't listen to him. God knows that is very sweet. Oh, if you eat it now, you will be so strong. Eat it now. The woman said, yes, so this devil is a very, very good talker. I like his style. I will eat it. He twisted what the word of God said. But he did the same thing for Jesus. Jesus shut him down. Shut up! It is written. Hello? So there is no mountain in your life that what is written cannot level. If you know where it is. Just know, locate where it is. But as an ignorant person, when you don't know where it is, you say, okay, in Jesus' name, I want to be healed. What is your reference? You say, hey, I don't even know where it is in the scripture. Then we say, okay, come, I will teach you. Come, your head. You see, you need to know where it is. He comes with all manner of life. He will tell you that, you know, you cannot amount to anything in life. Oh. You remember what you did in the past. He says, shut up. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are new. Shut up, devil. Hallelujah. If you tell you that, oh, you know, that business, it can't work. He says, shut up. He said, whatsoever you do it shall prosper. How about you look at what does the word of God say? He said, oh, because you are black in this nation, you know, you don't have much black people. Say, shut up. The Bible said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He said, ye are the trees of righteousness, the planting of God. Can God plant you in Sweden and one body say, he want to remove you? They've not gone that body. Hello? Even if it will come to the point of removing the head of that body, for a man that knows who he is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to tell you, don't celebrate ignorance. There's nothing good about ignorance. Be equipped with the truth.
Dig deep into it. Read it. Thank you, Jesus. Number two, hindrance is false self-esteem. Say false self-esteem. Self-esteem means individual rating. If you rate yourself too high, you're in trouble. If you rate yourself too low, you're in trouble. You must rate yourself according to what the Word of God says concerning you. Hello? To rate yourself too high means you say, okay, like that guy. Say, Jesus, I've done everything. What are you trying to talk about? Are you a lawyer? I read the scripture very well more than you. Well, they say, shut up. You don't know it. Jesus was talking to you. You say you know everything. Who bore you? Thank you, Jesus. So don't overestimate yourself and don't underestimate yourself. Say, oh, I'm a sinner. I've not read the Bible for about 2 weeks now. I cannot operate in the wisdom of God. Abba. Who tells you that? So wrong self-esteem can hinder you from flowing in the wisdom of God. Go, stop going around saying, oh, this poor me. What are you doing with the poor me? Poor me for what? You're in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, wrong self-esteem due to pride or due to arrogance may hinder you. You will never see a proud man that is flowing in the wisdom of God. It's not possible. Even naturally, when you say somebody that is full of himself, do you respect him? Oh. Now you talk about you go to God and say, oh God, oh Jehovah, who are you? Don't do that. Humble yourself genuinely before God and don't underestimate yourself. You are not a trash. Hello? You are not a trash. Jesus died because of you. God sent his best to rescue you. So that is what you are worth in Christ Jesus. Number three, hindrance is weight of past glory or past defeat. The weight of past glory or past defeat can hinder you from flowing in the wisdom of God. You say, oh, I've arrived. You know, there are some houses in your area. Maybe when you are young, they were the best houses then. And that when you are passing across, you'll be watching it. This house is good, though. If you go there now, even if they say they want you to rent it for free, you say, okay, I'm coming back. He has lost his glory. Because life is dynamic. Life is what? Dynamic. Things are changing. So don't say, because I succeeded yesterday, I don't want to press anymore. Press towards it. Don't be satisfied, in quote, with what you have now. Go higher. Say, go higher. Say, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Hallelujah. Press harder. Don't just say, okay, no, I can't make any difference. No. Wherever God has planted you part time, what? Sit there and make the best. We are talking about somebody when we are coming from the train, and we are trying to compare. You know, my son was correcting his brother about the way he was speaking English, and this woman came out. The way she responded, I could see the level of Swedish, very wonderful. English too, very wonderful. And she was trying to compare. I said, you better treat them and let them stay in this environment. So I said, she moved to the UK and came back. I said, comparing the two, Sweden is still much, much better, at least according to our report. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But what I'm trying to say is that don't just say, okay, no, I've achieved. No, I don't want to press. Press forward. Check that thing. 2017, you have taken me to this level. 2018, I must go higher. You must not sit in the same class. Hello? You will not sit in the same class about the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will go higher, forcefully, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And don't let the challenge of past failure. You are not created to be a failure. You may have failed one time or the other, but that doesn't mean you are a failure. Learn to separate people from what happened to them. Hello? You are not born a failure. You will not fail in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Your career shall not fail in the name of Jesus. So don't say because you have failed before in the past, that it means that you can never make it. That's not true. Go for it again. Elijah prayed. First time, second time, he will have said, you know, this was the same man that locked the heaven. That said there won't be rain. He was still the same one. I want to pray for rain to come. He will have said, let me relocate another country. Because my life is coming. Hello? Because the king would have said, now you close the rain in the heaven, we go kill you today if you don't open it. So he prayed. He did not say, let the rain come. He said, he told the servants, they go and look. That one, you don't get faith at all. He come back and say, Oga, no sign of rain, no. Aye. Now, verse 9, what are you going to do? But he refused to give up. See, I refused to give up.
So that you apply for that thing and they deny you, that doesn't mean you can't have it. It may be one devil that is trying to do corner. So what? Stay with it. Say, no, I won't let go. Say, I won't let go. I won't let go. No. Thank you, Jesus. So don't let the weight of past glory or past defeat stop you. Number 4, don't let comparison with your colleagues stop you. Okay, we started the work the same day. They have not promoted her, so they can't promote me. No. That you are in the same class doesn't mean that you are seated in the same class doesn't mean you belong to the same class. Hello? That he's sitting next to you in the class doesn't mean you are in the same class. Hello? So stop comparing yourself with what? With your colleagues. Compare yourself with the word of God. Compare yourself with the vision of God for your life and for your family. Thank you, Jesus. Comparison, it's a game of foolishness. Never use another man as a yardstick for your own life. Hello? Don't even use another family. Learn from their principle. Hello? Because some people say, okay, look at somebody's husband. She bought her a 505, brand new. She could only buy a bicycle for me. Ah, this one I'm here. No. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No. Don't do that. Hello? Appraise the man. Appraise the woman. Learn from the principle of the successful people of the successful story around you and apply it to yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Another one is believe in spell and enchantment. He say, hey, they do juju. I can't make it, you know, because the juju is too much. That's not true. Hello? Don't let believe in enchantment and all manner of nonsense that they're talking about stop you. You can operate in divine wisdom. And whatsoever is trying to bewitch you, I curse that source in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You will not be cursed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Last one for today. Believe in concept of unequal destiny. It can hinder people. Let's stand up. Believe in concept of unequal destiny can hinder people from flowing in divine wisdom. He said, you know, after all, I'm a black man. The destinies are not equal. He was born in the house of his father. His grandfather was a commissioner of whatever in the country. That doesn't make a difference, brother. Hello? We have seen people that were taken from the background of the bush and they still ended up in the front. Hallelujah. We have seen people that even came from background. You know the background of Solomon? Hello? If it was today's content, they would call him O'Malley, a bastard. But he became the king. Hello? He became the king. So his background did not stop his rising. His background did not stop the wisdom of God from flowing in his life. So do not believe in the concept of unequal what? Unequal destiny. And do not be lazy. That's the last one. Don't be lazy. Laziness is an hindrance to people flowing in divine wisdom. And we're not talking about being lazy physically. We're talking of mental laziness. Hello? What do I call it?
Mental
laziness. That is lack of mental exercise. Let your brain sweat. Your brain is created to sweat. Hallelujah. Look through that thing. Lord, there must be a way. Meditate it about it in your heart. Lord, my career. What is happening with it? I mustn't continue like this. You said I should be the head and not the tail. I cannot be the head. And there's no promotion at job for 3 years. What is happening? The Holy Spirit will say, no, don't worry. Just go for further education. I'm preparing a place for you. See, he will show you things. He will show you things. What I'm trying to talk about is that divine wisdom is real. Divine wisdom is available. Divine wisdom is obtainable. And divine wisdom is what you need to be enthroned in the palace where you belong. Begin to give God praise right now. Because you belong to the palace. Jesus is called the King of Kings. So we are the kings that he's king over. He is the King of Kings. So celebrate him. that you belong to the palace. You belong to the palace. You are not destined for the ghetto. No! You are not destined for the ghetto. You are destined to sit with the kings. You are destined to sit with the president. You are destined to be the head and not the tail. You are destined to be a reference point. Give him glory. Give him thanks. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Exalt his holy name. Thank him. Appreciate him. He is worthy. He is worthy. Give him thanks. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we celebrate you. Thank you for the word of truth. Thank you for your power, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We celebrate you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want us to ask, according to Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. He said, ask. Thank you, Jesus. Let me open that one. Hallelujah. Jeremiah. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to pray according to that scripture in Jeremiah 33 and in verse 3. Hallelujah. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Maybe there is something you are about to take a decision on. I want us to pray right now. Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. Instruct me. Instruct me. Show me the way out of this issue. We are taking, we are drawing a curtain on the teaching on divine wisdom this month. Ask God to show you the way around that issue. To take delivery of your expectations. He said, you have moved around that mountain too long. You must move forward. You must move to the next level. The place where they found you last year, they shouldn't find you there anymore. You belong to the top. They should be filling forms to see you. They should be booking appointments to see you. So ask God to show you the way. Ask God to show you the way around that issue. The issue of your marriage. The issue of your health. The issue of your career. The issue of your parents. The issue that has to do even with your advancement spiritually. Show me the way, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We receive divine wisdom. We receive divine wisdom. We receive instructions. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Father, I release your people today. And I pray for the fresh impartation of the wisdom of God upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bible said, Joshua, the son of Nun, who said he was filled with wisdom, when the servant of God, Moses, laid hand on him, and therefore decreed the mighty name of Jesus, the name that's above every other name, that these words be filled afresh with the wisdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The way to the next level will be made clear to them in a crystal clear way, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord God Almighty, even before this month runs to an end, show them the way in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And let testimony abide in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This week as you go, you come back with testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As you march into the month of May, it shall be your month of promotion in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It shall be your month of good report in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. It shall be your month of testimony galore in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. It shall be your month of good report in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.